Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone now, 7:50 Central African time, and at the time of the morning, where we join now our very own counselor, Ahmad Parak. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you doing this a beautiful Sunday morning on a special month called Ramadan? How are you doing, Ahmad?
Shafad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alan and salam to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful Sunday morning and a blessed month of Ramadan. Allah has blessed us, Shafad. And we cannot get a better month than this month of Ramadan. Allah make it easy for all of us, Shafad.
Allah said there, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan ya Rabbi. Honored the month of the Noble Quran. Yes, pardon us for that. I think we're having some monitor problem there or something like that. But Boniface is trying to sort that out. I hope Ahmad can hear loud and clear. Ahmad, what's the latest on the kafan duffan side of things?
Alhamdulillah, everything is so far so good. In fact, I'm just seeing in the last 2 days, you know, we've been fasting, alhamdulillah, and some very, very lucky people have taken parda from this dunya. So these are the lucky ones that have taken parda. I remember one, I got a call yesterday I remember it was about 10 days ago, I had to send an ambulance to go and pick up a patient that was very, very ill and really could not afford it as well to take to the hospital. And then yesterday I got a call that the same person that I assisted about 10 days ago has taken parda from the dunya, and she was buried last night in Brook Street Cemetery. So, you know, these are now, you know, I'm on two fronts at the moment. I get one from the ambulance service side. We are quite busy. There is a lot of people that need our services. So that side of it, as well as now also for this month of Ramadan, you know, people go to the cemeteries and all that. I assisted a lot of organizations who have needed the assistance, where they got private cemeteries to get consent, to get Metro Police to make sure that the people who will go there after Fajr or they go during the day, so they're not mugged or robbed or anything like that. Shafat, this is, you know, dunya. So wherever we can help anybody, it is our duty to assist, Shafat.
I recall maybe it was last year you were coordinating something for the burial societies in Phoenix, you know, especially talking about the Muslim burial societies and also our African Muslim brothers and sisters. You're doing something. Any update on that, Ahmad?
Shafad, no, alhamdulillah. You know, what we did was they, since COVID, we have put a fully fledged Ghusalkhana there. So there's a facility made specifically for janaza namaz as well as, you know, so it will be like a one-stop thing that what we did. The only thing outstanding is they're having a problem at this stage. Is I'm going to ask our brothers on radio as well this morning if anybody's got a 40-foot container for storage. There's a lot of things that we need to store in a cemetery, so we are looking for a 40-foot container so we'll be able to store all our, you know, coffin stuff as well as all the timber, wheelbarrows, tools and everything. So that's what we are looking for. But alhamdulillah, it is a one-stop shop at the moment. So, you know, a lot of people do not have facilities because they're living in, you know, 2x2 apartments, they're living in small flats, one-bedroom flat. You cannot take the janaza day in the flat anymore. Somebody corporals do not allow it. So this is a way that we have found it is better for us. And some of them have got very few family members in the family. So we take it there, we do the janaz, we do the kusaf there, we keep the body there. Whoever family or friends want to come, they can. We've got a facility where they can make zikr, make dua for the deceased, and then make the janaz and namaz and bury in the cemetery. So you come out or you go there one place instead of now you go to the house, from the house, then you go to the masjid, from the masjid, then you go to the cemetery. So it's a one-stop, and you know, with the fuel prices and everything. And I think this is now is starting to pay dividends. And in fact, we are also looking to do a similar facility in the Overport area, inshallah. there is a property has been earmarked, and as soon as the consent from the municipality has been given, so we'll be able to turn that, so we make it one stop, because lots of people are living in one-bedroom flats, and body corporates do not allow, especially you go to the beachfront, you know, some body corporates do not allow to bring the funerals there, because in this, you know, if a non-Muslim, they got their own parlors and they call it, you know, they got their own facility. That's how they do it. You take it to the church and they got storage, fridge storage facility. And only in our case, we don't have all that. So therefore, it is advisable to especially for the people that one cannot afford it, two, they've got a very, very small flat and they need the facility. This is what we're going to be doing in Overport as well, inshallah, Shafan.
JazakAllah for that. Yaqub says, Assalamu alaikum. Sometimes when we have a family member passing on and we go to the police station, we get a very uncooperative police there, not helping us and making things even worse. How do we handle people like this? Because most of them always will tell you, I'm thirsty. Ahmad, how do you respond there?
So as far as possible, you know, what I have done over the years, and I'm still carrying on doing this. You know, I always say to all our Islamic institution, organization, they need to become self-sufficient in everything. So, you know, now previously, first, let's go back to the days where you had to go to the police station to go and bring a burial order. That is history now, because our burial organization members are registrars now. So, which means he can sign the burial order and we don't have to go to the police station, number one. Number two, that brother's consent is if he goes to the police station, he needs to get an affidavit because he's got a lost ID or he's got no passport, there's no identification, and there's only ID number, or there's an old ID, now they do not accept that old ID, then he has to go for verification, he needs an affidavit. Most, you know, he needs to see where is. There's a lot of attorneys, there's a lot of advocates, myself, like I'm a counselor, I get these calls every single day, you know, Mr. Parak, please do me a favor, I need an CO done. So I got a CO stamp at home, I keep a CO stamp in my car and one CO stamp at the office. So wherever I am and if anybody needs, the affidavit is done, providing he comes with his ID, I look at his face first, and then because, you know, otherwise you're committing fraud. So therefore, I make sure if it's the right thing, what I'm seeing before me, and I sign it and I give them. So it eliminates that issue where you have to go to police station and then that guy will tell you, you know, do something for us, Lani, for lunch here. You know, my throat is dry. You know, how hot it is today. Do something for us. So this is the problem we try to eliminate. So there is people out there, but, you know, some of our attorneys and advocates and all that, when you call them, they are very busy. They're saying, no, come later and all that. That's why now you have to go to the police station. So I think the best way is you find a counselor in your vicinity, and he is bound to do that. That's the reason they make counselors COs, so that commotion of code, so they can assist the community, Shabbat.
Beautiful indeed. And Ahmad, you really like a breath of fresh air. And, you know, giving us that advice, people, there's it. I didn't know that the burial society, they can do everything. Issue the death certificate too, Ahmad?
No, they cannot issue a death certificate, but they can issue a burial order. So if you know, burial order means you're taking a body from A point to B point. That's burial order. And then he can sign the BI 1663, and the doctor signs it to say that he has checked the deceased, as there's no bruises or anything like that. There's no any issues. He was not thrown from the stairs or anything like that. He looks at it and he signs that BI 1663. That is the death certificate. Actually, it's not the death. That is a certificate to say that the doctor has seen the patient, that is Mr. Musa or whatever his name is, he's seen him and he signed it, the very organization signed, then you take that BI 1663, you go to the Home Affairs. There's a special, that's why we have sorted out here in KZN and most of our Home Affairs, there's a delegated section, birth and death certificate section. There you don't even have to wait 10 minutes to, you'll get a death certificate very, very quick. They take the form, everything, they check it up, they'll generate your death certificate. So you give it then to your attorneys, because most of them want to wind up the state quick as possible. So you give it to them and the family has got the death certificate. There's no issue as far as that is concerned. Shafat, the Israeli issue, the mass protest is now they're getting the taste of what they have been doing wrong. Now they're in massive. If the people on the ground start mobilizing and doing what they are doing for the last month or so now they are seeing what is right and what is not right. Now, that is a, now they've got a massive, massive problem in Israel. And the U.S. cannot help them or anybody. No European country will be able to assist, because the biggest ally was the U.S. They cannot do anything. Biden cannot do anything in that region anymore. Russia, that Russian President Shafat is the Ustadka Ustad. He is a master. He is a brilliant. If you only read how he plots, how he does things and all that, I've been reading in the last couple of days as well, some of the news coming out from there. And the way he starts plotting things, he have already now associated himself with the neighboring countries so where he can stash things or put things in together. If there is a massive problem from outside, interference from the outside in the Ukraine war, he's ready for them. Then you get the in the U.S., the Mississippi tornado, Shafat, when it comes to tornado and earthquake, you don't play with Allah. Allah is, Ghafur Rahim. He knows when to do it and how to do it. When you play, you do anything wrong, he's got the ammunition. You don't need all the nuclear or anything. His ammunition will destroy anything and bring the whole entire city to its ground. That is it, Shabbat.
I'm looking at a lot of messages coming in for you already, so I'm just a bit distracted there. But Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah khair for that. This message from Yusuf. Yusuf says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Parak. I live here in KZN, and in the past few months, the CBD has become very unsafe. A lot of killings, gangsters killing each other, and recently we having at Springfield Park also another drive-by shooting and killing. Now in the freeways that we have shootings and killings. Who's responsible, and is Durban and the surrounding areas becoming a wild, wild west? How do you respond to Yusuf there, Ahmad?
Shafat, Yusuf is 101% right in what he said. There's the drug turf war that is, people are coming from the other part. Leave. First, we thought it was people are coming out from Cape Town, and then they're fighting for the turf war. Yeah. Now we have discovered there are international people are coming out here and fighting in South Africa for turf war in all the our nine provinces as well. So that one is biggest problem, that is the drug turf war, that is. Then you get the other one is the taxi bosses are being gunned down, and that is another turf war, because that taxi industry, it's a mafia grouping itself, and there you got no chance. When you open your mouth wrong place, wrong time, they come and put you away. They have now got a system in place. Obviously the taxi bosses, they are the ones that have already put their groupings together. When you're putting a huge, massive property or anything, they will come and they want tax on that, because they won't let you go. You won't be able to lay one brick if you don't put that first, right? Because they want their tax on that property, or they want a share in that property. So that is another issue that you have to negotiate with them first before you even go and do anything, because they say you have to employ locals and you have to do this and that and all. So these are the two major grouping. One is the drug lords. They're fighting for turf in South Africa, yeah, and all the provinces. And then you've got the taxi mafias are the ones that are being gunned down. And if you go in that area, they don't talk. And then lastly, Shafak, they have now put in a killing machine or killing industry, which we call it. And in fact, yesterday I was reading, and they're calling it the killing machine. In fact, it says they're killing a boom industry. So there's an industry created only how you order a car to be hijacked. That is a next thing coming. They pay. You won't put so and so away, and that is another industry they have created. Now, with all said and done, the question is Solomon is asking, what is the way forward? How are we? Because innocent people can, you know, when they come out, they don't see who's there. And it is somebody they get innocent people can get shot. Like I got one brother that I was told yesterday. He was trying to assist his poor fellow. He's fighting for his life in Ahmad Al Qadi Hospital. So Allah make it easy for him, give him complete shifa. And he's one of the prominent guys in Mellenton Mosque. So, you know, Shafat is really, really in a lot of pain in hospital at the moment. Allah must make it easy in the good month of the month of Ramzan to make it easy for him, give him complete shifa. So this is a killing machine they have got in place at the moment. What are we doing about it? Yes, the Minister of Police has been given a special assignment regarding this issue. Metro Police has been given, but they need to put a task team, which I think they are putting together for in all province. You know, before you had a special intelligence in to penetrate into the market of these people here, and they used to have the people on the ground. They used to get the proper information, and they used to nab these people who are the brainchild behind this whole killing. And in fact, that's what has to be done. Otherwise, this thing is going to escalate, Shafa.
Yeah, Ahmed, I look at Yaqut's message. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Blue Chef and Ahmed Tarek. I must compliment you guys. It's a lovely chatty show and a lot of information coming through. Talking about gang warfare, I come from that period where I knew the Queen's Brigade, the Crimson League, and the Dasheens. These were all in the CBD area, but they knew their territories and they knew what to do. They used to be together at soccer matches and many other events and functions, but they had a territorial respect for each other, not like these mad men that are going killing people by the hordes. At that time, the killing wasn't there. It was more fighting each other fist to fist, and they're not forgetting the so-called gang, or the Salat gang, sorry, the Salat gang. About all that history of yesteryear, and the best was Farooq Khan, you know, the late Farooq Khan, Allah fil his qabr udur, could have told us the whole story. Your thoughts on what Yaqut has, sent to us?
Shafat, I knew most of the people with Dasheen, and then the Joburg mafia. He was, you know, with a five-piece suit with the Texan hat and all that. He used to come and meet my dad whenever he was in Durban. So we know that he was Sharif Khan, actually, in Joburg. Sharif Khan was a mafia. Whenever he came to Durban, he always met my father and he sat with my father and all. My father told him, you know what, this fighting, killing and all is not going to take you anywhere. So he calmed down at that time. But as you say, at those times, they were fighting for the turf. The, you know, Overport had his own place, Grey Street, and all areas had their feet. You don't interfere them, they don't interfere. So, and there was not much killing. They could eventually, like, if they each chief, they used to sit down around the table and then they could sort the issue out. And the central place, I remember a lot of times, the central place was the Grey Street Masjid. They used to go and sit down there and solve the problem. And they all come out, they shake hands, and the game was over. It was like that. But today is different. They don't talk. They put the bullet first and then they talk, Shafat. That is the problem.
Yeah, and these guys used to take tax from people, isn't it? They'll come, if you're a doctor in that area, say, yeah, every month, and they'll come and take a tax. Or in Durban, they say, no, this is your protection money, Ahmed.
That's correct, Shafat. In fact, Sharif Khan also used to do it in Joburg and all over. They used to do it. And but with all that, you know, it was a small taxation, they used to call it, or whatever it is. And but they, when you needed them, you make one call, they were there to assist you and all that. You know, they at that time, if you got a problem and somebody is bullying you or you're having a problem, one call you make, and you know, because you're paying a small tax, they will come there and they will solve your problem. Nobody will touch you in this township.
Yeah, but you're making me smile here. You know, it's like a security company. I mean, we're paying thousands and thousands every year, but you even call our security company, they're not coming. You only see them once a year when they want their account paid. But these guys were on the turn. You gave them protection money or the tax money. They were there. They're the best security company you ever had, Ahmed.
Shafar, 100%. Even now, too, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, if I have a problem or anything, you know, people come to me with major issues and all that. And then I put them on to one of the undercover guys and all that. And then they have a meeting, and 9 out of 10, the thing is resolved. Whatever the problem is, and it's been resolved. You know, they have the disputes of major house issues, inheritance, and all that. You know, this thing runs into millions. And they came to me and they said, you know what, this is it. I'm fighting my brother, this, that, and all that. I had enough. I'm going to put him away, this, that, and all. This thing happens. And then I intervene and I put them to the right people there. And I said, you know, one is an alim. Number two is getting the right arbitrator to arbitrate this matter. And a lot of them have come back to me and they said, you know what, the best thing that we did, today we brothers, we are talking, our sisters, we're talking with our sisters, we don't have a problem. Everything went Sharia way, and we divided the inheritance accordingly to Sharia rule. And today, alhamdulillah, we all smiling.
This message says, Ahmed Parak, assalamu alaikum. Just the other day, I was reading the newspaper and I saw the kingpin of kidnappers. Was it a Pakistani or a Bangladeshi citizen that has been culpable of this? Now, if I look at any Pakistani or Bangladeshi, I feel so uneasy. I'm so sorry that I have this feeling. Allah make maaf for me. But Ahmed, can you blame me? Please give us an update. When will all these foreigners be checked out for their illegal stay in this country? Ahmed, how do you respond to that?
Shafar, what the government is doing at the moment, and this is authentic what I'm telling you, they are looking from 94 onwards, you know, after that, the ANC government, that the ruling party has come into power, they are looking into all foreign, because even if you are a foreign national, yeah, in our country, they in your although you will have permanent resident, it will always state that which country you came from. So they have got in Home Affairs that you are still a non South African citizen. So in that, there's a lot of people, they're compliant. They, you know, they have went through the motions, they went and did the work permit after work permit, they applied for the residence permit, they did all that thing, and now they became South African residents, but non-South African residents, meaning they are here, but they have got all the paperwork, but they still are non-South African residents. So they are going back to, from the time that all this has started, they're going to do a complete due diligence. In fact, Home Affairs are putting in money behind this thing here to make sure that everything is above board, and they will find out eventually which is the illegal one, which one was bribed and corrupt way they did the paperwork. They will pick that up very, very clearly, because all the non-residents in the country, as well as the permit holders and all, they're coming out of the new system that will determine how they have to be in the country. So I'm not going to reveal that. They call it the blueprint that is going to be out shortly, sometime in June and July. And then we will know from there onwards how many thousands or how many millions are in South Africa illegally, and which one is the legal ones in South Africa.
Farooq says, Assalamu alaikum. I really enjoy the program. Straight Talk is really you and Ahmed pull no punches. I want to tell Ahmed Paraka that Jazakallah khair for calling a spade a spade. I also am aware of what's happening at Home Affairs and all these different types of officials that are being captured. But Ahmed, surely if the government is going to spend so much of money in Home Affairs and clearing out all illegal aliens in this country, we should first move away from these officials that are culprits who are enabling these foreigners to come through. First, we need to clean out government, and then we should invest the money, because they have a lot of unworthy criminals working in government positions. How do you respond to Farooq there, Ahmed?
Shabbat, with that, we understand, you know, Home Affairs. You see, Home Affairs is only issuing visas and all that. Now, people are coming here in South Africa just with a visa, and they don't go back for anything. And then they come here, they start their business, they do some dandas here, and eventually they get some paper, they pay, go. And yes, the officials of Home Affairs, yes, is corrupt. They're expecting, they're taking money. All that is happening in the country. But that is coming to an end now, because the systems that we are putting in now, you know, if you take biometrics, Shafat, biometrics is an international proven way. You can't hide from biometrics. You leave South Africa and you did some massive fraud here, or you did whatever it is. We can, with biometrics, in any country, I can pick you up where you want to be. Somewhere and someday, you are going to do one transaction and we'll pick you up. We know exactly what time you are, which country you are, what time you went to do the transaction, and we know where you stay to as well. So we will pick you up. That is the reason why they have come. You see, everyone. So all the ones that previously did not do biometrics and all that, they have to all have to do biometrics. That's why they're putting into banks and in banks and easier access with online and everything. So that will eventually come to an end. That's what I'm saying. June, July, the system is coming into play. Everyone has to do biometrics. So when that comes through, the day is numbered for you, because end of the day, from that biometrics, I will be pick the information, how you came, when you came, why you came, and what you're doing in the country.
Beautiful indeed, and alhamdulillah. Looking at another message, Anonymous says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaz Khan and Ahmed Paraq. I live in your towns. Okay, I remember which town. Ahmed has migrated from here to Musgrave. And I live in, all right, he says, I live in your towns. And I want to tell you that there are many illegal foreigners that are living here. But the sad part is our own people that are keeping them here. They know that they are illegal, they are not documented, but they're still keeping them and giving them jobs so that they pay them a pittance. Allah is watching. Please, Ahmed, warn these brothers that the long arm of the law will definitely catch them soon. Ahmed?
Shabbat, firstly, to employ a foreigner, and if he hasn't got the proper paperwork, is illegal, number one. Number two is when he's caught, and when the Home Affairs, the Department of Home Affairs come and pick you, there's 200,000 and fine, there's, or you're going to prison. That's number two. Number three is we always said, and I've made it very, very clear in the masjid forums and all the other forums, Jamatul Ulama and everything, make sure whoever you employ, he has got paperwork. And if he hasn't got paperwork, you've got no leg to stand. Because what happens is, Shabbat, I know, 2 years ago, I think it is 2 years ago, in Durban and surrounding, beautiful apartment, the guy went for overseas, you know, they go for December vacation, they went for about 3 weeks. When he came back, there was nothing, not even anything left in his house, everything, because the person who was working for him for 8 years or more, he had the keys of the house, he had the keys of every single thing, the cars and everything. Everything was taken away. The neighbors and all thought they were moving out to another apartment, because they were top-notch Adidas. So they thought maybe they're moving out to another area or something like that. They had it planned such a way, Shafat, the proper way of how you dismantle the house and cover it up with the plastic, poly bag, everything nicely and take it out. So when they came back, there was nothing. So if you take this thing to any one of the black estates in Africa, how are you going to find him? Firstly, he was illegal. Secondly, you don't even have his photographs. Thirdly, you don't even have his visa. You don't have his work permit. So how are you going to track him down? Finish, he's gone, everything is gone. This is what happens. So by employing how they can work for you 20 years too, you will have this problem because one day when you unaware and you gave them the responsibility, no gun, no chair, you know what I mean? Baro Hando Hachwech, then that is the time he says, right, there's my opportunity. Yeah, they gave me 100% trust. There's an opportunity. I take whatever I want and I'm gone to Malawi or Tanzania or wherever he stays. You can't track him down. You go on, finish, game over.
Allah is watching. Dawood says, Assalamu alaikum. I want to know from you, will Zandile Gumede get out of 350 million fraud case? Because she is stalling just like Jacob Zuma. It's a Stalingrad movement. I think she will get away. What's your thoughts, Ahmed? How do you respond to Dawood?
Shafat, for Dawood, if he's studying the case, there's so much stacked against her and with about almost 200 witnesses, this matter is going to drag for about 2-3 months. And in the end, you will find conviction coming because it's too much. It's a cartel that worked together, orchestrated this whole thing together. So there's bank documentation, there's bank statements, there's recording, which is now permissible. The judge has ruled that they can use that. So you know what? Only thing they can come out with technicalities, and she's got Jay Naidu. Jay Naidu is a brilliant advocate. You know, he's finding everything in the book to look and discredit all the witnesses and everything else. But the mere fact is, when the money transaction took place and the money went into your account, you became an accomplice, Shafat.
This message just says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Tarek. I know you very well, and also Brother Shafaat. I want to know from you, I don't know if I'm out of place, but Zandile Gumede or Shishle Zikalala work out a councillor or the last mayor, Fawzia Pir? Your response there?
Shafaat, that was before my term. I only came on 2021 election. So that time, yes, I was following the matter. But, you know, in government and in municipality, everything, it comes when you, especially with the ruling party, the decision is not even made here. It is made in national and then province. They sit down together and they say, you know what, take that one out, whoever they want to take out, and that's how they plot. And from, you know, in the last 3-4 years now, you know, you got two frictions of the ruling party. So one party will say, you know what, to get the upper hand, this is what we have to do and everything else. So this is what happens in municipality and in government.
Alhamdulillah, yes. And, you know, many people are talking, I mean, just reading an article this morning, I saw that it says that the poor people are very angry because they're not getting service deliveries, but affluent areas are getting service deliveries, and the poor people said we are the ones that pay our bills very regularly, but this type of thing we cannot tolerate anymore. So they are deciding to do what some of some other areas of suburbs have done: get together and withhold the rates and taxes. Are the poor people really, being marginalized because of the richer or more affluent areas, Ahmed?
Yeah, that's not true at all. The system is very, very simple. One, whether you're in an elite area of Belito, Amslanga, Musgrave, or Spingo Beach, or wherever, Athlon Park or anything, they're getting service delivery, not true. Two, the poorer places, they're saying that they're not getting at all service delivery, also not true. Thirdly, you cannot hold you cannot hold Itigwini municipality at ransom because there's a court ruling about 4 or 5 years ago. There's a precedent set by 8 judges from the special it went into appeals case, and that precedent is set that you cannot hold the funds of the Itigwini municipality. Try, and all those people are saying they're going to hold that money. Tell them to try, and you know what's going to happen. They'll come and disconnect you. That is the same reason I've been saying over and over in this radio station. We've been reminding. The council got clever in the past. Previously, you used to have 3 different statements. If you owned a house, you had a rate statement. And you got a house, you got a water account, you get a water, and you get an electricity account. What they did now, Shafat, they took all 3 and put it into one. And if you previously, used to only pay the light and the water, so they couldn't disconnect you because rate, they have to make application and then summon you and everything. So that they said it was a very painful process. So they took everything and they amalgamated together one statement. So when it comes in the one statement under Shafat Ahmad Khan, resident 28 Dyker Road, it comes through to you. You don't pay rates, and you paid all your other bills. On the statement, your water statement read water 280 rands. Your electricity is 1,430 rand, and your rate is 450 rand. So you didn't pay your rate at 450, and you paid the only 280 and the 1430. And thinking that, you know, they won't come and disconnect you. Because you haven't paid your rate, your account came into arrears. They now disconnected you, not for the water or light or anything, because you haven't paid your rates. So this is it. So you cannot hold the council ransom. What you can do for that brother, that question, what he can do, he must mobilize in his area, form that ratepayers association, bring a class action, meaning bring a class action with all the ratepayers in that street or in that area or in Spingo Beach or Musgrave or Amslanga or anything, bring a class action, go to a high court, bring an application to say that, you know what, in terms of the law, in terms of the constitution of South Africa and the bylaws of the city, we pay rates for what reason? One, they want roads. Your sewer lines must be working, your drainage, everything must be, they give you service delivery. Now, in our case, you're not getting service delivery. Based on that, the judge will make a decision. Then only this, but you can't hold the money back to say, no, we are not going to pay, and we want to bring them down to business. It's not going to happen.
Absolutely, Ahmad. Beautiful indeed, and explanation. As usual, you're on top of your game. Your parting words this morning?
I was reading this morning, and somebody sent me a very nice clip. Everything in South Africa is negative, negative, negative. Why don't we start looking at the positive? And start looking at the positive and say, you know what, if you want to keep worrying about the negative, and it also runs you down because every time you're reading, there's a shooting so and so. You know, now you need to think about it in this month of Ramadan. Let's look at the positive. What if, you know, you're getting 20 negative and you've got five good is coming out of everything. So everybody start thinking about the good and start working towards the good. We won't get that. But if we all say negative, You know, we're not interested in this government. We're not interested in the city. We're not interested in the councillor. We're not interested in the municipality. We're not interested in the metropolis. You're not going to get anything. We need to mobilize. we cannot complain. We can't be sit down in the back seat and expect things to happen when we personally don't do anything about it. Start mobilizing. Get your ratepayers association. Do something for your city. Do something for your country, like Action SA. We think our logo is Let's Fix South Africa. And that's why I joined Action SA, because I had a goal that we got one criteria, Let's Fix South Africa. And if you know, Shafat, I told you, I went to Nongoma. And when I saw in Nongoma, Shafat, I think I was thinking maybe after Ramzan, take one bus and take our people in Nongoma. When you see the living condition of the people there, but Shafat, the respect they give you, and they got nothing. There's only 8% of Nongoma, the people of Nongoma is working. But you can see, they, you know what, they plant their own self there, there's no water. They walk kilometers. I'm putting this week, this coming week, I'm putting about four Jojos. I made arrangement. The buckets were sent yesterday. Willerton Oil, Allah give them lot of barakah in their rosy, and Willerton Oil gave me buckets. I'm taking those buckets, and I want to give it to those people, and they can go and pick up water from the Jojo, and they don't have their work. You know, children, they walk to school. And, you know, Shafat, we took bus to go to school. Now our children, they phone Uber. The Uber take them to school. Look at those. They got one shoe, torn shoe. That poor fellow's shirt, you must see, is stitched and everything, but the poor lady is going to school. Shafat, when you see all that, we must make last lakh shukar Allah, bless that in this town, in this city, in this country, and go and see in the rural areas what is happening, Shafat.
Beautiful indeed, Ahmad, and you know what, you walk the talk, and that is very graphic indeed, very sad indeed, and Allah bless you, and all those that are with you for doing a sterling piece of work. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon, Ahmad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa
rahmatullah. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.